Today on Real Life Radio.
When you as a Christian, when somebody says, are you a Christian? Yep. How did Jesus die for my sins on the cross? Isn't that what you guys preach? Yes. How did that happen? You better be able to answer them. If you cannot answer them, then how do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen, it's been 2 years here at the Real Life Network, and God has been so good to us. God put it on our hearts to create a network that would be cancel-free, censorship-free, uncompromising, so that we could bring the truth to anyone, anywhere. God has been so good to us these last 2 years, everybody, and we want to thank all of you. So today, we are amazed that over 70 million minutes of biblical worldview truth has been on our programming and viewed by you, the audience, on the Real Life Network. Every piece of our content on the Real Life Network is rooted in God's Word so that it's safe, it's secure. So listen, spread the word with us, will you? Encourage friends and family to join the Real Life Network and that we might grow together this community of believers all around the world.
So if you haven't checked it out already, that's the Real Life Network, streaming the best in Christian and conservative content. Sign up and start streaming today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, in Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. Like in ancient times, Peter's challenging Christ followers to always be on guard and to be ready to give an answer for our faith. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we're not to mention the Lord only when it's convenient. If our life doesn't emulate Christ, we'll only support our lack of knowledge. People in the world aren't reading their Bible, they're reading us and how we live. Now, with his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He said, well, wait. You mean it's happening in my life? You mean I should have the answer? Hello? Yes. Well, pastor, aren't you supposed to give me the answer? I can help you. I can confirm to you, but you're the Christian. God wants to speak to you. And to be ready, to be in this place, in this point of being ready, is to understand, this has happened in my life. I need to get the answer from the Lord. And this is important. Why? Because when you have the answer from God's word for your life, guess what? You'll have the answer, and it can be shared with others. It's part of giving the answer to other people, because you got the answer yourself, right? Now, I don't know, have you ever had measles? I've never had measles, but how do you get measles? Anybody know? You have to get them from somebody, you know. By the way, can I officially make this statement? Is it not flu season? Okay, between now and springtime, knuckles only. No more handshakes, no more hugging. I know you're a huggy church. Knuckles, it's knuckle season. Why? Because I don't want to get what you have, and you don't want to get what I have, because I shake hundreds of hands on a Sunday, and I just pass them right back to you. Somebody gives it to me, and it goes right back to you. There, boom. Not good. But in a spiritual sense, you can't give anything away that you don't have. Always be ready to give an answer to someone who asks of you. You've got to have it to give it. You got to possess it before you can spread it. And God will give you, Christian, be bold in this. God will give you the answer to your life's challenge so you can spread that answer around. Always be ready means this, to challenge conventional wisdom that you encounter every day. What does that mean? It means the Christian should provoke the thinking and the challenge of what's being talked about. Conventional wisdom. Do you know what I mean by that? Conventional wisdom is what the breeze is saying, what the tide is bringing in. It's whimsical. It's we would use the word political correctness as well. Conventional wisdom, it's wisdom of the day versus God's wisdom, which is eternal. The Christian should be able to speak into that and to give an answer. This can only happen by sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, setting apart, making it very obvious that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Now, listen, the fact that Jesus is the Lord of your life, it means, listen, I'm going to pause for effect. It means that you do not put God in a compartment and talk to him or bring him out when it's convenient. When that's the case, when you bring God out when it's convenient, you're living a life that is unsanctified to God. You may name the name of Jesus, but you're doing and living and entertaining things that are displeasing to God. And that's not having him set apart in your life. So that when somebody asks you a question, they see your car in the parking lot, they assume that you're a follower of Jesus, they ask you a question, and you don't know how to answer. How does that happen? You never sanctified him in your heart. It's just a religious thing. It's not a personal thing. It's not been settled. And so you're not ready. Another one is this, that we're to always be ready to interject what I would say a second opinion. I kind of love this, a second opinion into the matter of things. The Christian is to enlighten the debate or make clarity of the conversation. I want all of you, look, as a pastor, there's no greater joy that I could have than for you to go out into the world and shine your light as a believer and make a difference. And wherever you're at, you can illuminate the conversation. Just ask questions. You know, it's been a long time since I've been in school, but when I was in school, and I don't know if it's taught anymore, but when I was in school, we were challenged to think what's called critical thinking. Yep. Now, I don't know if people are allowed to do this anymore. I'm not being rude. I actually don't know if we're allowed to do this anymore. But when I was young, when the teacher made a claim or something was printed in the book, we were instructed to challenge the statement. In other words, a teacher makes a comment. The student back in 1875, when I was in school, The student was supposed to say, excuse me, teacher, why is that true? Did you know that, everybody? Remember, some of us oldies are going, I remember that. When the teacher says, and this is the way that it is, hands went up. Why is that the way that it is? I remember his name was really Jim Shorts. You know, like Jim Shorts. Put on your gym shorts. Look, young people, us oldies used to wear gym shorts. We used to put on PE clothes every day. We'd have to run a mile a day, whatever. My science teacher was Jim Shorts. And he would say, the earth, back then it was way younger than it is now, but the earth's 5 million years old. And we would say, why is it 5 million? How do you know it's 5 million years old? We used to do this in a public school. Now, I don't know how it is today, but do you hear what I'm saying? When you as a Christian, when somebody says, are you a Christian? Yep. How did Jesus die for my sins on the cross? Isn't that what you guys preach? Yes. How did that happen? You better be able to answer them. If you cannot answer them, then how do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Well, because the Bible says it. The Bible says it for you to go and know it and to study it. Yes, the Bible says it. Yes, the Bible's true. But listen, the world's not reading the Bible. They're reading you. And when you say, listen, there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. Jesus is risen. How do you know? How do you know that? Did you see him rise from the dead? Were you there? How do you know? You know how to answer that question? You know how to answer that challenge? You should know how to answer that. This is very basic for Christians. Oh, yeah? Well, where's God? Jack, where's God? Well, God is, according to the word, everywhere. Where is he? He's everywhere. Yeah, but, you know, point if you could. Well, okay, he's in heaven. There's no doubt about that. But he's also in my heart. Oh, there. That's what I want you to say. How's God, who's eternal, how's he fit in your heart? If he's so big, how's he fit in your heart? You need to be able to answer that. Are you with me, everybody? The world out there, they think they're going to stump you on every question that they have, and they're learning how to stump you. They don't expect you to have an answer. But if Christ is sanctified in your heart, you know why you believe, you know what it is that you believe, and you can defend what you believe because you're on your mark. And and you've been set so that anytime somebody comes along, you can be ready to give an answer. The Christian is to give a reasonable argument. Again, we may not win anyone to Christ with giving the answer. Nowhere does it say there in verse 15 that if you give the answer, they'll get saved. Here's the awesome thing. If you give the answer, they walk away having to deal with it. And that's where you can, I don't mean this literally, but that's where you can wash your hands of your friend or that encounter, and you can leave them to the hands of God. Because you know the people you're sharing with, you're witnessing to people? Don't think that you're supposed to save them. Oh, I've been witnessing to this guy for so long. I've been sharing and he dropped dead yesterday and I feel like I failed the Lord. Why? Because he didn't get saved. Well, excuse me, you can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. We're only supposed to be a witness. It's up to them what they do with it. But we are to be what we are to be, and that is ready. We have to have a firsthand experience. In other words, we have to be convinced ourselves. And part of this great mission that you and I have as a church, and why it's so important for us to get the word out. You know, listen, I hope this is important to you, to get the word of God out. I wish, you know what, maybe we should start, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, maybe we should start posting the letters and emails we get from people all around the world about what this church has meant to them. Maybe you can read those. It'll blow your mind. Why? Some people get saved listening, but did you know the greatest response by far are Christians around the world saying, we don't have a Bible teaching church in our city, and I'm growing. Watch this, I'm growing, and my family is seeing the growth. They're asking questions. That's the preeminent, not exclusive, but that's the preeminent ministry of this church. Some churches are evangelistically rooted. God bless them. We need them. I do not have the gift of evangelism. I will ruin an evangelistic outreach. But I can teach the Bible. Every church has got its pigmentation, so to speak, or its personality, where the body of Christ in total comes together. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Matthew 28:18, you know it so well. This is Jesus came and spoke to them saying, this is right before he ascends back to heaven. Listen to this. Watch it carefully. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you stop and you say, well, who cares? Why is that important? Good for you, Jesus. How does that translate to me? Look at verse 19. Every 100% of it translates to us. Go. Hey, Jesus is saying, Calvary Chapel, hey, church, I've got all authority. I'm resurrected from the dead. I'm now a man resurrected from the dead, the God-man. I'm going back to heaven. Your mission? Go and make disciples of all nations. Make what? Disciples. This is, by the way, this is a popular verse, but it's not an evangelistic verse. Did you know that? The key is to teach people the way of God, the things of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world. Teaching. Of course they get saved, but as soon as they get saved, what happens? That whole discipleship process begins, and it's very awesome. And powerful.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
But one of the great things that we want to be careful about as we look to this validation of our claims as a believer, to make a validation, church, I want to submit to you this morning that it would prerequisite, of you and I being alive, very, very alive. And so I want you to think about this for a moment. And I'm talking to me, us, and the church beyond. So To be a believer and to be a church that is validating the claim, we are ready to give a defense to those who ask of us why we're believers and why we have hope. That challenge should cause you and I to feel life. You know how some people put a rubber band on their leg and jump off a bridge? And you ask them, why do you do that? And they say, oh, the adrenaline rush is amazing. I guess, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, it's thrilling. Okay, in that same type of genre of thinking, Christian, the Christian who has determined, I'm going to do verse 15. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sanctify Christ in my heart. Let me tell you, you're going to get an adrenaline rush. It's like, oh man. Why? What's going on? Because you are waking up to the Christian life of what it means to be not of this world. And you will experience life as a believer that you cannot experience in any other arena, in any other world. If that's not in your life, why is that the case? Why? What's happening? There's some things to consider. Don't answer out loud. But regarding yourself, regarding me, I ask me, you ask you, regarding this church, regarding the churches closest to this church, and then the churches closer to those churches, and as it emanates out, the churches in the county, the churches in the state, are you with me? As the rings go outward and churches are brought into that scope of examination, the question is this: Are you living or are you dying? Is this church living or is it dying? Is the church next to us, near us, churches, are they living or are they dying? What are the symptoms of death? What are the symptoms when a church is dying or a Christian is dying, spiritually speaking? Well, one of them is that they're not ready to give an answer. They don't answer life's issues. Listen. The church, the Christian becomes irrelevant. And I submit this, I am not a prophet, I am not prophesying, I just see the horizon to some degree. If a church is going to stand in California or America in this current climate of culture, that would mean it's a living church. Would it not? It'd have to be a living church, living for Jesus. That means it's giving answers to people who are asking from the Bible. You want to have a thrill? You want to be alive? That church is going to be persecuted. That Christian is going to be persecuted. And I believe the days ahead are good days that will be tempered or qualified by persecution. Persecution will come to us. It's coming. You can only persecute a living church. You can only persecute a living Christian. Are you with me? No one persecutes a dead Christian. No one persecutes a dead church. Listen, the world loves a church that's dead because they can get it to talk its talk and to do its bidding. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So, I wrote down some things for me. Maybe they mean something to you. If they do, write these verses down, perhaps. I wrote to myself an observable fact. What is an observable fact regarding living and dying as a believer, as a church? What's happening today? I think it's an observable fact that there's apathy everywhere. Apathy within the professing church is growing rapidly. That's an observation. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus warned and said, be careful because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, anxieties of this life. And that day will close in you unexpectedly like a trap. Apathy causes a believer to get sloppy, to get anxious and worried. Apathy causes a believer to not be serious about the things of God. And Jesus says in Luke 21:34 that day comes upon that person unexpectedly. in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. 2 Peter 3, verses 4 and 5. Listen, and you judge, church. Ask yourself, are we living in these days? Peter says, scoffers will be saying in the last days, where is the promise of his coming? Ha! You silly believers. Where's the promise of his return? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Peter says, for this, they are willfully forgetting or ignorant. Wow. Number one, how do you know when apathy is reigning and ruling and arising in the church age, there'll be the scoffers. Listen, there are those in the church calling themselves Christians who mock the return of Jesus Christ. Observable fact, Christian ministry is departing from the authority of Scripture. Christian ministry, departing from the authority of the Bible. It's happening everywhere. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. For there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Church, is that happening today? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, this is pretty exciting. We're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of Real Life Network.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's beyond amazing.
We launched this thing, over 2 years ago? Just a little over almost, 2 years ago?
Almost, yeah.
And it's been exciting. I mean, it's been quite a ride, right? Some people call it the Netflix of the Christian world. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It has exploded. For those of you who don't know, you've got to do this. It's free. Go to your applications and get this app. It's the Real Life Network app, and it's 24/7, 365, 100% Christian character-based material. And the programming, we started out, Davey, 2 years ago with a fledgling handful of some broadcast and some content, and it has exploded. Yeah. 70 million minutes of broadcast time has already been invested in by the viewers. And listen, here's what's shocking, everybody. God blessed us so much during COVID that we wanted to create a cancel-free, censor-free Christian network. There's nothing exactly like it out there. And it's not only free for you, the user, it's free for all of the ministries broadcasting because God has paid the bill. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Here's a mark, Davey, of success. When other Christian ministries want to buy it from you, that's how you know. But here's the glorious thing. It's not for sale. We're all committed about getting the truth out.
What's coming up next? What's right around the corner?
Wow. I have to be careful to say
a
lot. We have caught the eye of some wonderful producers of great content. One of them is the fine people at PragerU, who are famous for not only their conservative worldview positions, but PragerU is famous for their 5-minute videos, PragerU. So we'll be working with them shortly.
Love PragerU.
And we've been invited by Blaze TV. They're at Mercury One in Dallas, Texas, to join up with the Blaze TV. And we are going to be doing some pretty exciting things with the Real Life Network and the Blaze TV. And there's more, but we'll save that for later.
Sounds good. So if you haven't checked it out already, that's the Real Life Network, streaming the best in Christian and conservative content. Sign up and start streaming today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. You ever find yourself longing for a deeper spiritual walk? Well, for many believers, the Holy Spirit's just a mysterious idea we hear about on Sundays but rarely live out on Mondays. What if His presence could transform your daily life, fueling you with hope and power and unstoppable joy? What if His guidance could help you navigate through decisions, strengthen relationships, and bring genuine peace to your soul? Well, this month, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring Living Water by Chuck Smith. It's a down-to-earth look at the Holy Spirit who can revolutionize the way you connect with God. Inside, you'll uncover practical biblical insights to help you walk in step with the Spirit right where you are. No hype, no cliches, just real answers for everyday challenges.
This book changed my life. Authored by my pastor, Chuck Smith, the book Living Water, incredible.
Living Water is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.